Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another weekly podcast. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about developing commercial real estate. You know, a lot of the listeners I've heard from in the past are investing in residential, but I get these questions a lot. Clint, it's time for me to take a jump, move in a different direction. What do you think about commercial or multifamily properties? Well, I have a few of these properties and they've worked out extremely well for myself. But I know when it comes time to make that shift from residential to commercial, or maybe you're already in commercial properties, you're not knowing where you should make your next investment. These are the questions that come up. And the best thing to do is go to someone who has an extensive background in working with commercial investors. Because I know as an investor myself, it's not something that I just went out and jumped into. I aligned myself with professionals who understood the market, understood what it is I was looking to invest in, and then helped me achieve those investments. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to Pam Goodwin of Goodwin Commercial. She's a friend of mine. She's a fellow speaker at the Think Realty events in which we teach together at. She's the Think Realty coach, and she brings a tremendous amount of expertise to the table. And I thought, this is the person I wanted to get on the podcast. So Pam, thanks for being on. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much, Clint, for having me. It's commercial real estate, one of my favorite subjects to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we get started, why don't you give us some background? How you even got started in this space? Because I don't imagine you just jump right into commercial, or maybe you do.
I know I'm always encouraging people to get into commercial real estate, but just a little bit about myself. Graduating at the University of Nebraska with a degree in interior design, I always wanted to do commercial design, and I only did that for a year. So the first half of my career, I started off in designing office buildings and then working for large shopping center developers, and then eventually went on the tenant side. I always think it's good to have landlord experience, tenant side, and I went from Omaha to Baltimore, Maryland to Los Angeles, and now based here in Dallas, Texas, went on the tenant side working for Brinker International, developing more than 50 Chili's from the ground up on the development side. And I met a landlord who, once he did a Chili's development deal, the 10-year ground lease, he was able to sell that ground lease and make about $800,000 to $1 million profit on one deal as an investment. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have got to learn how to do this. After developing 50 plus, it gave me great experience. And back in 2006, I started my own company. We actually partnered up together with this landlord developing properties, and we specialize in single tenant net lease properties, which is a great way to get started investing in commercial real estate.
Yeah. Now, you just said something there, the ground lease. And for those listeners who are not familiar with that, I mean, that's a whole other way of looking at commercial real estate, because most people, when they think of commercial, oh, got to go buy that building. Then I need to find the commercial tenants to put into that building. But why don't you explain what a ground lease is?
So a ground lease is basically we always prefer to work with the national tenants. So we've been developing Walgreens, Chase Bank, McDonald's type tenants, but we'll take McDonald's because it's one of my favorite tenants. But we owned the land, we bought land. And what I do with my business partners is always identify the best property to put under contract first and then go find the tenant, or you either have the tenant in hand. But in this case, one of the first projects I worked on, my business partner and I, we were able to look at 5 acres in a ground lease with McDonald's. Is we just basically what it is, we leased the property to them for $60,000 a year. That's what they paid us as the landlord to lease the property on this particular property in a smaller town in Texas. And then it was a 10-year lease with bumps in it. But for, you know, the first 5 years, they paid us $60,000. And then there's rent bumps for that. and then you're able to sell that $60,000 rent on a certain cap rate, you know, which means something. Every single tenant has a different cap rate, and that's the return of money that you're able to make on a money. So a typical McDonald's ground lease these days is, if you're developing them, the lower the cap rate when you're selling it, the better. It's kind of a different mindset, but you want to buy high at a cap rate, which means you want to buy at a high 10% cap rate. So instead of making 0% on your money in the bank or a little bit, you're actually making 10%. And so a typical McDonald's, these deals are selling at a 4% cap rate, which is really good if you're the landlord and you're selling that investment. But if you're buying it, you're only making 4% on your money. But people really like to buy those because it's a secure way, you know, that you have that money every year and it's growing.
Yeah. So in a situation like that, what you're doing is you're buying the land and McDonald's is putting the structure on the land, correct?
Correct. Yes. They're building the entire building. They're maintaining it. They're paying the taxes on it. They're paying the insurance, which is triple net, common area maintenance, taxes, and insurance. That's what the three N's typically mean. They're a double net or a triple net, in which that's why it's so nice as a landlord. You're making that mailbox money, and they're, you know, it's really nice to have that cash flow is the overall goal in commercial real estate investing or any type of real estate investing, that cash flow every month.
I know. I mean, that these land lease arrangements, I have a client, I first just heard about them about 18 years ago, where they had a piece of property and Safeway came in and built a grocery store. And then they expanded to a gas station on this property. And they're making 30 grand a month from Safeway to have this land lease. And they have, the only thing they bought was the property and everything else is maintained by Safeway. They don't have to do anything to collect this type of revenue. I thought, wow, that is a neat way to invest. So you don't have to worry about structures. And if they move out, you get the building and you can turn around and lease it to someone else.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely. That's why it's a really, really good niche to be in this part of the commercial real estate, because most of them, you know, you can even buy them as low as, which seems low for commercial real estate asset, but you can actually buy one of these for $300,000. You know, some of these commercial real estate where the tenant is paying everything off for you and you're building equity.
Yeah, that's just, you know, if you're in an, so if people are looking for that, what would you recommend that they, you know, look at in a particular location? If I'm trying to figure out, hey, I see a piece of land that's available, it's zoned commercial. Should I go in and try to just look for raw land, or should I look for a structure that should be torn down that's in a great location?
Well, there's always three different ways to get into it. And the most highly profitable are the ones that you're actually most of the time developing from, you know, raw land and putting that brand new structure on there. But the best way to, you know, you can either buy an existing tenant that already has a ground lease in place. We were able to buy an existing Texas car title from just a local guy who had it, and he was retiring, found out he was retiring. And, you know, that was highly profitable when we were able to sell it. But I always tell people, you know your community the best. If you drive around a, you know, 1 to 5 mile radius, you're driving by and you know if you need a Starbucks, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, or what type of use is missing in your community. You'll see an old, you know, quick serve place, old, you know, burger place go out. And some of those buildings are excellent to buy, you know, and do a quick redevelopment on those. And the banks really like those. And the tenants really like it too, because they can do a quick, you know, redevelopment and move in right away.
So what I'm hearing, you said this earlier, is that if you wanted to get started in this, first try to negotiate, work with a professional like yourself who understands this space, negotiate an option on the property to tie it up, and then go out and start looking for tenants that are interested in this. So if you've identified, like you said, Starbucks is missing in that area, or maybe some type of tire service or automotive service, then start approaching them. Who do you approach? The national chains?
Right. I always feel that's the best one for investment property are the national, in which we have a lot of events every year with the International Council of Shopping Centers. They have, you can look that up, icsc.org, and that's for all of our retailers from anywhere from movie theaters to your Starbucks to your Walmart, anything in the retail sector, because that's what we specialize in, Goodwin Commercial. But you can also just go on their website, too. If you go to McDonald's, they have a full real estate section right there. You just click on it. It tells you exactly what size they need, who to contact in the region. A lot of those national companies have it right on their website you can go to.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, tell you what, we're going to take a short little break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about that single tenant net lease and some of the things people should be looking at when it comes to investing about where the market is going. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back with Pam Goodwin from Goodwin Commercial.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Welcome back, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors. This is our podcast. And on this special edition podcast, we have Pam Goodwin of Goodwin Commercial, and we're talking about commercial leases. In the last segment, we went through the importance of a ground lease and how you can benefit from that. And when we just right as we ended there, we started getting into single tenant net leases and something that Pam had brought up. And so, Pam, maybe you go a little bit deeper on that, what you meant by single tenant net lease, so the listeners understand what that product is and what they should be looking for if they want to go the commercial route.
Right. So single tenant is exactly pretty much how it sounds. So instead of having a multi-tenant building, it's actually a single tenant. And some of the prime examples are your fast food, your Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell. Those are all single tenant net leased properties that you can purchase. That it's great because you can actually own the land and then own the building. But the best part is you don't have to operate it. So as the landlord, you're just collecting that, you know, monthly rent. I also wanted to, you talked about how to get into commercial real estate. I recently had two clients who wanted to start investing in commercial real estate. So for example, one client, they had been leasing from an office space for more than 30 years. And after a while, they were tired of really paying that landlord that rent. So we were able to, we were able to find them a condo just a little over $310,000 that after showing them what they, you know, finding them a bank loan, what they were going to have to pay in HOA dues, all of that, their monthly expense was going to be a lot less than what they were paying in their office rent, and they owned it, and they were their own landlord, and they were happy as can be. They're so thrilled to finally, and that's how they were able to get into commercial real estate. Another quick story, a client of mine, she's been placing senior living people in a variety of different types of homes throughout the Metroplex. And she took her idea of, you know, I like this house and this one. If I could just put all those ideas in my own house, you know, my own senior living homes. So she teamed up with her brother. They bought a fairly inexpensive 2-acre piece of land. And I helped her. She hired me as a consultant. I also do consulting work. And we were able to get her a $3.3 million loan to develop her own single living. And she had no experience on how to develop, hired the architect. But that's why you said, you know, earlier, teaming up with the right people. And now she's going to be owning her own commercial real estate, was able to get the loan, seeing her dream come through. So if you have your own business, why don't own your own building? I always tell people.
Oh, yeah. And the SBA has great loans for people that are looking to buy their own properties to run their business out of. So, I mean, that's something that from a financing standpoint, you can look at. I know I've been down that road before because just as you described, where we run our offices out of, for many of those offices, we actually own the actual building because we found that it's, from a financial standpoint, much better to be putting cash into our own pocket, building equity, than paying it to someone else. So that's a great angle. when it comes to, you know, these properties in trying to find them, of course, many times you may be working through an agent. So how do you find the right people to work with, would you say? Is there an interview process someone should go through if they wanted to go out there and start working with an agent like yourself that could help them look at ground leases, the proper land or structure?
Right. It's definitely, as you know, in your business, being an attorney, how important it is to do your due diligence and being hooked up with the right person. We, in commercial real estate, a lot of us really do specialize in different things. And so you really want to find that expert who knows. Like I do a lot of restaurants and primarily retail, or people that do storage units, multifamily. You know, you don't want to hire me to find you multifamily because I do not have experience in that. So you really have to ask around, drive around, you know, find out in the industry, start attending different networking events in commercial real estate. There's so many of them on Eventbrite, meetups, all that stuff that you can really start meeting the local brokers in that area to help you find it. But definitely interview them to find out what type of deals they do and really find out the person, like I said, exactly the type of investment you want to buy. Make sure they're the expert in that so that they definitely protect you.
Okay, so let's say that I approach a broker and I ask him if he has an expertise in self-storage. And he says, oh yeah, absolutely. Do them all the time. Well, then how do I know whether or not he's BSing me or not?
Well, you would definitely ask for examples and definitely ask for references of partners they've teamed up with or actual projects that they've done. If anybody asks me, I have a whole, you know, brochure, PowerPoint presentation of the different locations we've done and the different projects, and definitely ask them what properties they've worked on and get some information on that and see what type of returns they've had. Talk to people before you invest with them.
See, I think that what you just said there is so key, that people need to interview, ask for references rather than just blindly take what they're telling you as gospel and that they really have that expertise. Because they may not, and they're just trying to win your business over, and then they lock you down. And so you're stuck working with that agent for a set period of time. So get the references. That's really, really important. Now, the market for commercial, where do you think it's going?
Well, my crystal ball says, being in this business for 30 years plus and surviving, it definitely has its ups and downs. And it's still a growth market, but can kind of feel that it's slowing down a little bit. But there's still, I mean, I always say, and people always hear when I speak that, I think everything is for sale. And interest rates, I know, I'm sure you know, they're still coming down. So what that means, it's still an opportunity to buy. I probably should think about it more, but I don't, to plan for that because I've gone ups and downs, but I still think the market is really booming. And like I said, since we're here in Texas and we're fairly landlocked, especially definitely here in Dallas, we have to shop and we have to eat. So they're still popping up everywhere. So hopefully.
So you don't, I mean, what I've seen on the multifamily side is that when you're out looking for investments, the cap rates on multifamilies, as you just said, you want to buy high, sell low. Most people right now are buying low. I see investors getting involved in five caps, three caps. And I'm just scratching my head wondering, how do you make any money at that? With commercial, have you seen that same run-up in pricing, or is it still attainable where you're going to get a decent cap if you look and it hasn't been all so-called picked over?
I know. I mean, that's definitely some of the problem going on is that people don't want to sell because there's nothing that they can do a 1031 exchange and buy in return. And some of those people with those low cap rates, we do not buy that low of cap rates just because it really seems like the property taxes are eating up their profits very quickly these days. They keep escalating and that cap rate just keeps shrinking on your return. So it will be interesting. All those people that are buying those multifamily at five or below cap, I've had some single tenant below five cap that people are buying and now trying to sell. And it's a little bit tough out there because somebody doesn't want to buy that not credit tenant that they bought at 5%. So it is kind of changing.
Yeah, I've, you know, looked at that and myself, and people have asked me, well, do you have any multifamily yet? And I don't right now because I'm kind of sitting on the sidelines, waiting to see what's going to happen with these loans that they have in 5 years, 3 years, when they start resetting, whether or not it's going to be an issue for them because cash flow just doesn't support it or the property values have dropped. And so there might be opportunities. The banks get involved for investors. Where to invest? So this is a question that comes up a lot. So people listening to this podcast come from all over the country, and you brought up California before we were talking. Where are the hot markets? Because I know, aren't you in 16 different markets or 16 states, 80 cities?
Right. That's where I have done projects and have done development deals in. Right now, we're just focused pretty much 100% in Texas. And every once in a while, we do tap into Oklahoma because it's still, you know, a growing market up there. But it's, you know, Dallas is still a really good market. The Atlanta, there's still a lot of really good market that were kind of quiet before. But a lot of people still like Texas because we don't have the state income tax, which I think you're in a state too, correct? That doesn't have state income tax?
That's correct. And they make it up other ways. But
right. And so we still have, I was showing a friend that was just visiting from Massachusetts and showing her, I'm like, look at this brand new home you can buy for $350,000. And she could not believe it, you know, to have this brand new, beautiful home, which, you know, is such a great price in Texas. And that's why a lot of people are still moving here. Gas, you know, I'm paying, I think it's like $208. And I was just in California and it was almost, they kept it at $499.
Wow.
You know, it's just stuff like that, that we're like half the price of so many markets. You get so much for your money. And so I'm still a big supporter of Texas. I always tell people to stay in their own market, you know, at the best. And so that's where I've just been staying the last several years, is in my own market. And I found a lot of, you know, working in my Brinker days, Chili days, the markets that have, you know, under 100,000 people, the tertiary markets have been gold mines where you can find a lot of good opportunities because so many of the sellers will work with you. And it's great to work with a local. I always tell people in your own markets to go visit your economic development director because they know everything happening in the city and they know every property owner and they know every single tenant that they need in their community too. So go look on website and go make an appointment to go meet with them. They're a wealth of information.
Yeah, I mean, that's really important because a lot of people will tell you, investors that have made a lot of money doing this, they bought in the path of progress. We hear that term all the time, but I don't think people really understand what that means or how they bought in the past. It's because they're going and talking to the economic developer and finding out where the growth is projected, where they're bringing in facilities to which area of the city, what they've planned out, because that's going to be where you want to own because you can get it cheaper now than you will after all that work has been done.
I know another odd thing that I do on Facebook, I always watch a lot of times the city council or the planning and zoning, especially the city council on Facebook, they actually post those live on there. And I can just sit here and find out all the upcoming hearing of, you know, who's developing where, because I know that multifamily or if Walmart's given a presentation, I'm going to go buy a pad site from them or maybe next door. So, you know, like you said, definitely you can find out a lot of information ahead of time, even, you know, driving on a Saturday or Sunday to some of those communities. Because a lot of those the main properties are off market to go buy, and getting out in the car and taking a new path and eating at a new restaurant, you know, I always enjoy doing, and you can always find lots of property or buildings to buy.
Yeah, doing that. Well, that's great. You know what? This has been extremely informative. I thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on this podcast with us. I know the listeners are going to want to reach out to you, and we have your information in the show notes, but if somebody wants to contact you to engage your services, what is the best way to go about getting hold of you?
Yeah, definitely reach out to me, pam@pamgoodwin.com, and definitely follow me on all the social media, especially LinkedIn. I pretty much post daily on that. So hopefully, providing valuable content on there, but look me up on LinkedIn, follow me on that, and definitely follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and all those. I'm on all of those social media.
Well, great. Bam, thank you very much. And I want you to enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Clinton. Hope to see you soon.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.